We're up to the Gemara Nun Ches Amud Aleph. The Gemara tells a story about Reb Shela, who apparently lived in Bavel. He gave Makas Mardis, Nagde, he gave Makas Mardis to someone who was living with a non-Jewish woman. Boyal Mitzris. Boyal Aramis. I don't think it means a Mitzris. I don't think it means a Nochris. The Gemara says, Bosan Cherev Bilbalos Kolho Elam Kula, Echta San Cherev. So nobody's a Mitzri anymore, nobody's an Amoni, Mayavi. Just means it was a non-Jewish woman. So that is an Easter. And he gave Makas Mardis. There probably was no... He didn't have Smicha. Pashto says he probably didn't have any Smicha. And in order to give Malkus their eyes, you have to have Hasro, you have to have Edim. But it was Makas Mardis. The din is Makmayon Shin Shloim Ben Adin. If you think that you'll accomplish something, buy it. There's a din boil aramis b'farhesia kanoim pogimbo. Boil aramis b'tzina. There's no din of kanoim pogimbo. So there's a... The Gemara says, bezdinish, the bezdin of the chashmanoim. What goes is that you give Malkus Mardis. That's the question. The whole Isser is only the Rabbana. The Isser, the Araisa, is only B'chahesia and B'tzina. There's no Isser. Oh, no. The Isser is the Araisa, even B'tzina. But Kanoim Pogimbo is only if he does the Aver B'chahesia. If he does B'tzina, there's no punishment. Menatara, so all you have is the Makas Mardis, the Rabbana. So that's two opinions in the Ran on Sanhedrin. And in Shulchan Aruch, and the Chubis Maram Shik, the accepted opinion of Shulchan Aruch and Maram Shik is that that's an Issa Deraisa. For El Aramis, even Mitzin is an Issa Deraisa, just that the punishment is, the Malkus is Midirabban. Mochama would be the other way. Mochama, there are two. If a Jewish woman, we just spoke about yesterday, if a Jewish woman marries a non-Jewish man, that's an Aver, like eating Chazer, but that's not Kanoim Pogimbo. Because if she'll have children, the children will be Jewish. If it's this way, a Jewish man lives with a non-Jewish woman, so that's considered Kanoim Pogimbo, and that's considered Yohareg Bal Yavar. That says the Ramo and Shulchan Aruch quotes the Ramban and the Melchamis and Sanhedrin, who distinguishes. If a Jewish girl lives with a non-Jewish man, Esther was living with Achashverosh. So that itself is not Yehoreg Val Yavar. It's an Aver, it's not Yehoreg Val Yavar. It's because the Gemara's Kasha was, it was Esther Farhesi Havoy. The Gemara asked the Kasha, all the Jews knew about it. All the Jews knew that Esther was Jewish, she knew that she was living with Achashverosh. So that's the Gemara's Kasha, why don't you say Yehoreg Val Yavar? But if it would have been the reverse, a Jewish man would live with a non-Jewish woman, that would already be Yehoreg Val Yavar. That's the Ramban makes such a distinction, and that's what the Ramo Paskans like that. In Shulchan Aruch they have a minig, the Rabbeinu Gershom's son converted to Christianity. There was such pressure at the times of the Crusades, and even not during the Crusades, there was tremendous pressure to convert, so his son converted. So they quote that Rabbeinu Gershom sat Shiva for 14 days. When his son converted, because the Gemara comments on yesterday's Sedra, when Miriam became Mitzaras, so Moshe Rabbeinu makes a Kol V'Chaimer, Umavio Yorok Yorak B'Fana, Lazi Kolem Shivas Yomim, she should really be punished with Nidui for 7 days, Kol V'Chaimer, L'Shchine, Yudalad Yom, but because so he says Tisagir Shivas Yamim. So here, for some reason or another, you don't say Dayom. So the Rabbeinu Gershom sat Shiva for 14 days. That's how they quote. the different versions. What happened? The Chachma Sadan quotes different. Rishonim quotes the story differently. Some say that he sat Shiva when the son converted. Some say that he sat Shiva when the son died. Some say he sat Shiva for 7 days. Some say he sat Shiva for 14 days. The Chochma Sadam suggests maybe he had sat Shiva 7 days when he converted and 7 days when he died. That's where they got the 14 days from. But that's not the popular version, is that Kal V'Chaimer L'Shchini Yud Dala Yom, for some reason over there, you don't say Dayol Avam and Adin Liyas Kenon Aliyah, he sat Shiva for 14 days. So this whole story, when a person converts, So it's considered, we treat it as if he's dead, and the relatives, it's a minig. The relatives sit Shiva. So the minig also in Shulchan Aruch, that if a Jewish man marries a non-Jewish woman, that's considered equivalent to Shmat. But if a Jewish girl marries a non-Jewish man, that doesn't really say in Shulchan Aruch. According to the Ramban, that's a lesser Iser, that you don't say you heard while you are not, they're both the Aser, but it's less of an Iser, so it doesn't really say that that's... doesn't really say they had a minig there. Usually the men would convert. It's rare that the women would convert. Anyway, that was the story. Rab Shela gave makas mardis. Nagde means he gave makas mardis. So the fellow went and he snitched to the government. He said, Ikachad gavra b'yidoy, one of the Jewish rabbis, to call dine dina below hurmana de malka. He doesn't have permission for the government. And he gave me malkas. Shoda alei pristaka. So he sent a policeman to arrest Rab Shela. What is he doing giving makas mardis? When the policeman came, he asked, why did you give the guy my time in Nagda Selai? Why did you give him makas mardis? So he says he was Bala Behema, Mishka Behema. So Mishka Behema, at that time, that's one of the Sheva Mitzvahs Ben Enoch, and it was punished with the death penalty. Amri Lei, so the police asked Rab Shela, Islach Zad, did he have witnesses? It was just... rumor. Amaluan, yes, he has a witness. Who's the witness? By non-Jews, the din is that you don't need two witnesses. One witness is enough. By us, there's a pasuk. The two psukim. Al pishnai made him, al pishlosh made him, yomus ameis. You need two made him from the fashas. Then there's another pasuk. Al pishnai made him, al pishlosh made him, yokum dover. That's for mammon. Yokum dover, that's mammon. You need two made him for mammon, you need two made him from the fashas. By Bnei Noach, the Gemara says you put him to death, beid echad, v'dayin echad. You don't need 23 dayanim, you don't need 3 dayanim, 1 dayan is enough, 1 aid is enough. So Eliyahu Navi came, Idam alei kenish, he appeared like a human being, he didn't appear like an angel, but Asid, and he testified that he's Baal Behema. So they asked Ihochi, if that's the case, that he practiced Mishka Behema, why don't you give him the death penalty? They apparently also, the Goyish government used to give the death penalty, one who practiced Mishka Behema. So Amaluhus, Rab Shela says, from the day that we were sent into Golus, we're not allowed to give the death penalty. That's what the Gemara says, 40 years before the Churban Abayis and Sanhedrin had self-imposed Golus, they left the Beis HaMikdosh. Gemara says, why? Because they saw that they're not able, there were so many murderers among the Jews, there was so much murder going on, they weren't able to control the situation. So they felt it's not proper on their part. They should remain officially in the Beis HaMikdosh, in their office, and they're not able to do their job. They couldn't control the wild murders that were going on. So they went into exile, and the Gemara says, based on the Pasuk, the Kamto Ve'alis HaLamokah and Melamish HaMokum Garm, they only have the din of Sanhedrin when they're in the Beis HaMikdosh. When they're not in the Beis HaMikdosh, they don't have a din of Sanhedrin. Even though you don't need a Sanhedrin of 71 in order to be done Din Nefesh, it's normal Din Nefesh enough at Bezna of 23, but the Gemara assumes that it's one big system. If the Supreme Court of 71 is no longer in session, they were bottled because they went into Golos, so all of the Sanhedrins of 23 are bottled. There is Machlekes about the Malkas, there is Machlekes HaTanoim in the first Mishnah in Sanhedrin, but the Malkas needs 23 Dayan, they need a Sanhedrin Tano or 3. So we passed on 3 dayanim smuchim. If it would have required 23, so that it's obvious it wouldn't be able to administer dinei malkus bisman hazeh, because there's no din of Sanhedrin tana. It's all big one system. If there's no Sanhedrin though, there's no Sanhedrin tana. The way we passed on malkus is the begimel, so that's a question. Do you say that bisman hazeh you can't administer malkus or not? So the Rambam writes, in Hilchas Sanhedrin, Malkim is Manazem Mechamachim Sheisham Shloshes Smuchim. There are no Shloshes Smuchim anywhere. By the time the Rambam wrote his Chibur, nobody had any Smicha already. The Smicha disappeared centuries before the Rambam, a few centuries before the Rambam started. But the Rambam writes, theoretically, you can administer Dinei Malkis Bizmanazeh, even though there's no Beis HaMikdash. And the Smag disagrees with Mishlan Melech. Has a little kuntres that's called Derech Mitzvisecha. They used to be printed in the back of the Parashas Drachim, that's the Sefer by the Mishlan Melech, on Agarata, on Drush, and now they always print it in the back of the Sefer Mitzvahs, La Rambam. So in the Derech Mitzvah he points out the machloikis in between the Rambam and the Ramban and the Chinuch and the Minyan HaMitzvahs, what to count, what not to count. And here and there he'll point out some disputes between the Rambam and the Smag that appear in the Rambam Sefer HaMitzvahs. I'm not going to point out every single stira, every single time there's a machloikis, the Rambam and the Smag, but he points out a few. So this is one of them, that the Smag writes that you cannot administer a dini malchus bizman hazeh, even though malchus does need a bezno 23, it's enough of a bezno 3, still you can't administer it. So same as dini nefoshes. Anyway, but the malchus that he gave was obviously malchus mardus, al pi pashtus. Wasn't necessarily real malchus. He probably didn't have edim hasro. Eliyahu Novi came and he gave edim sheker. Eliyahu Novi gave edim sheker over here. That's what the Gemara is going to, the Ashegetz is going to ask that question. How did HaKadosh Baruch Hu do a miracle that Eliyahu Novi should come and give Eid HaShekhar? Yeah.
Rabbi allows me to make just a small point. Rabbi said that you can't put every machlok at the smad and the rabbam, but I think Rabbi Sechemet says that the samad is based so heavily on the rabbam that unless he explicitly says so, you assume that he agrees with everything the rabbam says. So much so, if he doesn't explicitly argue with the Rambam, learn to be direct ears of the Rambam based on what it says in the Sama. So that he very seldom disagrees. So it's not so hard to put together all the whole list.
Yeah, probably not so hard, but I don't think the Mishnah Melech lists every point of dispute. I think it just has some of them, not all of them. Yeah. So that is a question, whether it can be done Dini Malkas Bizman HaZeh. The Rambam says that you can. In the 1500s, the Mari Beirav was the Rebbe of the Beis Yosef. He wanted to reinstitute the Smicha in Eretz Yisrael because the Rambam writes in three different places that he thinks, Yeroyali, that if all the Chachmei Eretz Yisrael gather together and they confer Smicha upon someone, that person will have the din of Somuch and you can be done Dini Knossos. He never said you can be done Dini Malkus. He said you can be done Dini Knossos. And after 1492, when the Jews were expelled from Spain, and then 1497, they were expelled from Portugal. So they tried to get the Jews to convert. So some Jews did worship Abu Dazar. Many Jews did worship Abu Dazar in order to save their lives. Many gave up their lives, and many ran away. They didn't have to worship Abu Dazar. They didn't have to give up their lives. So many of those who had worshipped Abu Dazar felt that they deserved Kares. And the Mishnah says in the end of Makkas, Kol Chari Krisu Shalok on Nifturu Midei Krisusa. If a person violated an Avera Sheyesh Bo Kares, and the Bezon Shalmata gave him Malkas, and then he won't be punished by the Bezon Shalmailo with the Kares. So these people thought that they were Chayiv Kares because they had worshipped Abu Dazar to save their lives. The Rambam says that they're not Chayiv Kares. The Rambam says, if you do any Avera to save your life, you don't get punished. Even though you're not allowed to worship Abu Dazar, the din is Yehar Yava, but if you did violate Avera, it's Ba'inus, and he doesn't get a punishment. But there are some Rishonim who disagree with the Rambam. The Ramach, the Kes Mishnah quotes, we have a Hasogas HaRamach. We used to have a few Hasogas HaRamach. We have a Hasogas HaRaivit, printed on the side of the page, and you have Mari Kurkis wrote Hasogas, and then the Ramach wrote Hasogas. So every so often, the Kes Mishnah quotes Hasogas HaRamach. Then they printed from the Ksav Yad. They printed many more Hasogas HaRamach on the Rambam. So this is one of the Hasogas that the Kes Mishnah quotes. He thinks that since the person was supposed to Yehoreh Yahweh, he wasn't supposed to worship Abu Dazar, he would be punished with Kores. So that was the interest of the people. They wanted to get Malkus, so they wanted to confer Smicha in order to convene a bezin of three to give Malkus. So they were assuming Chiddush number one of the Rambam, that such a thing is Chiddush HaSmicha. The Smicha doesn't have to be Ish Mipi'ish of Moshe Rabbeinu. The chain of Masora was broken already, way before the days of the Rambam, centuries before, there was no Smicha. So they were assuming like the Rambam, full Chachmis all gathered together, they can confer Smicha. And then Chiddush number two, that with that Smicha, they can give Malkus, Mari Ibn Leiv, who I think Mari Baum wrote a whole country of Smicha. Is that who wrote it? Not the Mari Baum. I got it right.
Maral Bach.
Rav Leib ibn Chaviv lived in Yerushalayim. So he wrote a whole contra sasmicha disagreeing with the Maribei Rav. So he says, if you look in the Rambam says, when you Yeroy Ali, his chiddush, that you can have chiddush asmicha, and then he says, and the people who have that kind of smicha, the mechudush diga smicha, can be dan dine knosses. He says, the Rambam never said that you can be dan dine nefoshes or dan dine malkas. So that was his taina against Rabbi Yosef, against the Maribei Rav. Against the Maribei Rav who reinstituted the smicha. Also Lechik said that he heard that taina. He didn't know the Maral Bach had that taina in the Kuntzin Sasmicha. He said he heard that taina from Rab Simcha Zelig, the Dine Brisk, and Rab Chaim agreed with Rab Simcha Zelig that that was a, he thought it was a correct diuk in the Rambam, that the Rambam says if you do a chiddush Sasmicha, you can some a person has such a smicha kibitan diriknosis. Perhaps only diriknosis, not dirimalkus.
Well, why not? If the mission of Sanhedrin is only just three to administer malkus, it's not totally on having a Sanhedrin and gadol.
So that's what he thought, that the chiddush hasmicha is an inyan like hefker bez nehefker, and hefker bez nehefker only works on didi mamonis. All the rabbanim in Eretz Yisrael have the power of hefker bez, so they can confer smicha only vis-a-vis didi knosses, to make someone pay money. But to confer smicha, real smicha, to be able to give malkas, he thought that not.
What's the requirement to get back the real smicha?
Has to be ish mipi'ish at Moshe Rabbeinu. So we'll have to wait till Eliyahu Navi will come. Eliyahu Navi has smicha, and then he'll take another two people. The Rambam has another chiddush. The Rambam writes that you need three. The Gemara says you need three people to confer smicha. So the Rambam says one of them has to have smicha, that it should be considered ish mipi'ish and Moshe Rabbeinu. The other two don't have to have smicha. It's a ma'aseh bezin. Conferring smicha is a ma'aseh bezin, but only one of them needs smicha, that it should be ish mipi'ish and Moshe Rabbeinu. So Rav Soloveitchik said, remember, Rav Simcha Zelig suggested that, the diuk in the Rambam, and he said his grandfather Rav Chaim thought that it was correct, that v'nikra balabais elhu Elohim, Elohim lashon chol, in the context in Parashat Mishpatim, that's a samuch with respect to mamonis, but with respect to misa and malkas, you need real smich, ish mipi ish amosh abeim. Two different dinim of smicha.
Can you administer malkus without them getting hatra?
No, you can't. So they wanted to have makas mardis, but there was bez makmei anshu shloim and adin. So that you can give even without smicha.
Is that clear of karis? How would makas?
And then it doesn't get rid of karis. Pipashta doesn't get rid of, the whole story doesn't make any sense. And the whole story, if a person worships Avodah Zarah, you don't get malkus. Either you get misa, you don't get anything. Avodah Zarah is what we call a lapshe nitan lasaras misas bezin. Let's say a fellow is mechalel Shabbos, and we warn him, but we like him, he's a friend of ours, so we warn him, don't be mechalel Shabbos, if you do, we'll give you malkus. We don't want to give him the death penalty because he's a friend of ours, so we warn him, don't be mechalel Shabbos, or don't worship Avodah Zarah, we're going to give you malkus. So the Gemara says, it's machlekes Rav Rabbi Shmuel, in the beginning of the third parak, the first omid base, and the third parak in malkus, and we paskin, that a lav shenitan lasaras misa bezin, a lav that normally you get misa for, is an isa chomor. So an isa chomor you never get malkus, only an isa kal. All the lavim are divided into two categories, isa chomor and isa kal. So there's only malkus on an isa kal. So the whole story is a pella. There was not, obviously there was no hasra. No one had any smicha. How could they give hasra? Don't worship Abba Dizal. I'm going to give you malkus. Where are they going to give malkus? Nobody has any smicha. So 25 years later, or 50 years later, whatever it was, 1492, 1497, and this was in the middle of the 1500s. 30, 40 years later, the people felt guilty. They felt that the chayv karis, questionable, the ramholes are not chayv karis, and they wanted to patter themselves from the karis by getting malkas. But the malkas they're going to get is going to be a makam yanshin shalom and adin. So that says in Chosh Mishpat, Simon Beis, Bez makam yanshin shalom and adin, even applies bizman hazeh, says the zayin tuvi ho'ir. In Breuers, they have seven members on the board, because the Gemara talks about Zayin Tuvihir. So you got to be careful. The Gemara says Zayin Tuvihir. The Shulchan Aruch says Zayin Tuvihir. If need be, they have the right to give the death penalty. Here in New York, if they give the death penalty, they'll put him in prison for life. But that's what it says in Chosh Mishpat, that the Zayin Tuvihir, if they feel that it's necessary, L'migda Milsa, that they feel they'll accomplish something by giving the death penalty. And Breuers, they're not happy about the Erev. So they may decide to give someone the death penalty. I don't know if they'll accomplish anything. Everybody else carries in the air. You only have a right makam el shishlam and adin. The hayra shor le migda milsa. Migda milsa means you think you're going to accomplish something by. If every other person is carrying in the Erev, so, and if the more people who are carrying the Erev, they're not carrying the Erev, you're not going to accomplish anything. Anyway, this is the story. So Rav Shela gave Makas Mardis, Alpi Pashtus, and the fellow snitched to the government. He told the government that this rabbi was giving Malkus, and he wasn't authorized by the government, so they sent the police to arrest him, and he said that he violated Mishka Behema, and they said, so why don't you give him the death penalty? So he says, since we went into Golos, it's even before they went into Golos, 40 years before the Churban Bayis Sheni, the Sanhedrin went into self-imposed exile, and we can't be Dan Din Nefashis anymore. That's even before we went into Golos. So we can't be Dan Din Nefashis. And then the rabbi tells the police, "My debeisan avidube, whatever you want to do, you can. You're not restricted. You don't have this restriction." Rabbi Soloveitchik printed a Dvar in the Beis Yitzchak many years ago when he was a rebbe here in the yeshiva. That just like when the Sanhedrin is not in the Lishkas Hagozes, the Jewish but the dinim can't administer dinim the fashas, so the non-Jews also are not allowed to. So he said in America they're not allowed to have capital punishment. Because no Sanhedrin Yeshivim Kaima. The Pashtus in this Gemara, the same thing, there's a Gemara like that in the Megillah. The Gemara says that Ahasuerus requested that Esther, that Vashti should appear in front of him. And she refused to appear. So he wanted to give her the death penalty. So he asked the Yoshvei Lefanov Bedin, how should he punish his wife? So he says, so the Jewish rabbi said at that time, first, he asked the Sanhedrin, can I punish her with the death penalty? So he said, we can't pass on death penalty from the day that we went into Golos. We can't. Same Loshan is over here. We can't pass on death penalty, but you can. So then he went to the Goyish judges, and they decided that Vashti should get the death penalty. So the two Gemaras are saying the same thing, that this limitation, the Yomsha, Chorabes Amigdosh, we can't be done, even if it only applies to the Jewish people. The non-Jews can be done with capital punishment today. It's only a restriction on the Bote Dinim. It's really two different psukim. One pasuk is that every Sanhedrin of Chav Gimel, Sanhedrin Ktana, is part of the big system. So if there's no Sanhedrin Ktana, Yoshvim Bim Kaimam, then the Sanhedrin Ktana can't function either. And then there's another pasuk that the Gemara has in Sanhedrin, on Daf Nun Beis, you can only administer Dinim Farsha Bizman Sheyesh Kohen Roivik. If you have a kohen being makar of karbonis in the Beis Hamikdash, v'anshe ain kohen oved, so then you can't. So that's the smag who is sefer mitzvah gadol is of the opinion that the din even applies to malchus. The pashta says, how can it apply to malchus? The bezna of three is not connected to the Sanhedrin. Sanhedrin Ktan is connected to the Sanhedrin Gedolos, one big system of Sanhedrin. But the bezna of three is sufficient for malchus. So why should you say they can't give malchus bezman hazeh? So the Pashto says, no, it's based on the other Pasuk. Based on the Pasuk the Gemara has in Sanhedrin, Zman Sheyesh Kohen Oved, you can administer din in the first. Zman Sheyin Kohen Oved, even if the Sanhedrin are Yoshvim Bim Kohen, but you don't have a Kohen Oved, then you can't be done din in the first. So this Mark thinks that all the din of the Nefashas carry over to Mominus as well. So that was a big hullabaloo in the 1500s. Maral Bach was also not... He said when the Maribei Rav had his conference of Rabbanim, he only invited all the Rabbanim from Tzvat. He didn't invite the Rabbanim from Yerushalayim to come to the meeting. So even though from Tzvat they had the overwhelming majority, 90% of the Rabbanim lived in Tzvat, so Maral Bach writes, if you would have had everybody together, everyone would be together, and the majority would say, let's give smicha. They gave smicha to Rabbi Yosef Kara and to the, who else? The Al-Sheikh, who else? A couple of people got smicha. The first time, and then the second time, another two, three people got smicha, and then the whole thing conked out, and they never did anything with the smicha. They never gave the malchus. So the Maral Bach had the taina, if they would have had all the Rabbanim, all Chachmei Eretz together, and 90% would say give smicha. 10% would say don't give smicha. So then the 10% would be upvoted. But he said you didn't even invite us to the meeting. So he said that's not what it says in the Rambam. Rambam says if you have kol chachmei Yisrael gathering together, and he claimed that they didn't have. So he wrote the whole kuntres hasmicha, right?
That
the Gemara assumes a svara. And the Gemara has a pasuk, "Kamtav Elis on the Machm Ki Palimim Chadov Ala Mishpat." There are two parshias in the Chumash that talk about Sanhedrin. One is in Bahaloischa Esvili Shivim Mishan Sheyadai Tegeim Zikne Ham Lishotrov, and then in Parsha Shoyftim, it says, "Ki Palimim Chadov Ala Mishpat." "Kamtav Elis on the Machm," so "Kamtav Elis on the Machm Alamish Amachm Gorim." That Sanhedrin only has the ability to function as a Sanhedrin when the Yoshvim Bim Koimam. So the Gemara assumes as far as Pshuta that all the Sanhedrin Tanas all over the world are one big system with the Sanhedrin Gedolah. But that shouldn't apply to the to Malkus. Malkus, you don't need a Sanhedrin the way we pass. You don't need a Sanhedrin. The Rambam's opinion is that for Kiddush HaChodesh and Ibra HaShana you need Bez Nagaro. So the Ramban asks on the Rambam, how can he insist that you need Bez Nagadol? The Rambam himself quotes the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, till the days of Abai V'Rava, Abai V'Rava lived in Bavel, so they didn't have any smicha, but till the days of Abai V'Rava, their counterparts in Eretz Yisrael used to make Kiddush HaChodesh and Ibra HaShanah, and there was no Sanhedrin Dov. Sanhedrin Dov ceased to exist 40 years before the Churban Abayis. Abai V'Rava were a few centuries later. So how could they, if there's no Sanhedrin Dov, how can they still be the Kaddish Chadoshim and Ma'ab HaShanim? That's the Ramban's kasha. So on the bottom, in the Sefer HaMitzvahs, he has that kasha. So on the bottom of the page, you have, I think, the Leif Sameach, Akina Sof, and one of them, Mefarshim says, and the Keren Ohrer writes like this on Soita, the Rambam obviously is of the opinion that when the Sanhedrin went into Golus, it didn't lose all of its dinim of Sanhedrin. Some of the dinim it lost, some of the dinim it didn't lose. So it could be that these are the two parshias of Sanhedrin. Rav Soloveitchik printed a long dvar about this, that the Sanhedrin has a double status. It's the Supreme Court, and they have the final say on paskening all the shilas. So there, it doesn't matter what the Hamayinam says. Let's say Sanhedrin paskens something, and the Balabatim are not happy with it. So tough luck. That's what the Sanhedrin paskens. But when it comes to Kiddush HaChodesh and Ibra HaShanah, the Tosefta in Sanhedrin says, "Ein mekatchen es HaChodesh ein ramas HaShanah." Elim Kain, unless the Tzibur is maskim. What kind of a din is that? So they pointed out, apparently, there's a separate din of Sanhedrin, they're the Supreme Court in Paskan and Shilas, but they represent, like the American Congress, they represent the nation. Asher Yadai Tekeim Ziknei Ha'om V'Shotrov. That's the Parsha Sanhedrin in Ba'alos Ches V'Lishim Yimish. Asher Yadai Tekeim Ziknei Ha'om V'Shotrov. So whenever need Das HaKoho, you consult the Sanhedrin, it's considered as if you have Das HaKoh. And so Soloveitchik pointed out that the Rambam says, Kiddush, Kibush Yochel Lav Shmei Kibush. When David HaMelech conquered Aram Tzova, and he wanted to endow it with Kedusha Sa'aretz, so the Gemara says it was only a make-believe Kedusha Midrabanan, and it wasn't the valid Kedusha Minatar, because it was only Kibush Yochel, it wasn't Kibush Rabban. What's the definition of Kibush Yochel? So the Rambam writes, Kibush Rabban means, the Rambam, there's a stira in between Perek Aleph and Hilchas Trumas and in Hilchas Melochim. So in one place, I forgot which place, the Rambam writes in one place that the Kibush has to be with the approval of Das Rov Yisrael. And the other place, the Rambam writes, the Kibush should be with the approval of Sanhedrin. So why doesn't he write both in both places? Why does he write one condition here, one condition there? So Rav Soloveitchik thought it's the one and the same condition. You really need Das Rav HaKohol. It should be Kibush Rabim if the Tzibur approves. But you don't have to, every time you want to find out what the Das HaTzibur is, you have to take a vote all the time. So you consult the Bez Nagadol, whatever they say, they represent Das Rav HaKohol. Like Congress in America. You don't always vote on everything. So yes to Congress, and whatever the Congress says is considered as if they represent the Das Rav HaTzibur. So it could well be that the halacha de bizman melamed shamakom goreim, that if the Bez Nagadol is not b'mkaimam, they don't have the status of Bez Nagadol. Maybe that's only vis-a-vis the din of the Supreme Court they don't have. because the Bezdin who paskins has to meet in the official location in the Lishkas Hagazas in the Beis Hamikdash. But the Bezdin HaGadol that it represents Das Rov HaKohol, so maybe that din still continued. There was a group, there was a body of 70 Rabbanim who had smicha, who had gathered together years after the Churban HaBayis, years after. 70 years before, 40 years before the Churban HaBayis, Golsa Sanhedrin, so they lost that din of Bezdin HaGadol. But the other din of Bezdin HaGadol, maybe they still have, that they represent Das Rov Yisrov. So for Kiddush HaChodesh, you need that din. You don't need a din that Bezdin HaGadol, the Supreme Court who has the final say in Pesach, and either Bezdin HaGadol as representing Klal Yisrov, because the Kiddush HaChodesh and the Ibra Hashan is really up to Klal Yisrov. It's not really up to the Bezdin HaGadol. Bezdin HaGadol represents the Klal Yisrov. So what happened? So the government was going to look into the case, because they had Eliyahu HaNavi came and he testified that he was Baal HaBehema. So this Reb Shela started to say Adrasha, as the secular court, Adamayin Bein Medina, while the secular court was deciding whether they're going to give him the death penalty, so Reb Shela held Adrasha on the Pasuk, Uchal Shem Agdula Vagvura Vatiferes. The Maharsha writes over here in the Chidush HaGadol, in the Taina letters, that this Pasuk lists off the seven spheres. Ches Gvura, Teferes, Netzach, Chod, Yesod, Malchus, Gedula is the same thing as Chesed. And Gvura is Gvura. And so on. That's why Rav Soloveitchik said, why is the meaning that we stand when we say, Vayivarach David? It's very unclear why we stand. So he said, because we're going to mention the Sheva Spheres here, so we treat the mentioning of the seven spheres as if that would be considered like Davish Bekdusha. It really isn't. It's a Pasuk of Dirayamim, but we treat it as if it's Davish Bekdusha. So he, Sir Rav Shela, was giving a drasha.
So he collected the money then. Okay, the
Kawai collected the money for Tzedakah. Yeah. That's how the Sir Rav Yanke Kamenetsky said. That the Mishnah says in Bikurim that when the pilgrims would bring the Bikurim to the Beis Hamikdash, everybody would stand up out of respect for the people who were going to do a mitzvah. And the Bartanura writes on that Mishnah that it's based on that everybody stands up when the Chevi Kaddish should bring in a dead body, not out of respect for the dead person. They didn't stand up for him while he was alive. Standing up out of respect for the Chevi Kaddish who were being betapel in the mitzvah. And that's why the meaning is he stand up when the Kvata brings in the baby didn't accomplish anything in his lifetime yet. He's only 8 days old. He didn't do anything yet. We stand up out of respect for the Kvata who's bringing the baby to do the mitzvah. And that's why we stand up. Many poskim say that's why we stand up. When the Chosin marches down the aisle, not so much Chosin Darim al-Malach. He didn't get married yet. He's not yet a Chosin. He's just engaged to get married. Stand up because he's walking on his way to perform the mitzvah. So they say from Abyanki Hamanetsky that Minig always was in Europe that the Gabbai would, the Pischei Tshuva writes in Yerideya, when the Gabbai walks around with the Pushkin, maybe everyone has to stand up out of respect for the Gabbai because he's getting everybody to do the mitzvah. So that's what Abyanki Hamanetsky said. Maybe that's the reason why they have a Minig to stand up for Vayivarach David, because the Minig used to be that the Gabbai would walk around with the Pushkin when they said Vayivarach David. And the people would put in its stock when they say Elokei Hashem. So they would put money in the Pushkin. Okay, that was Rabbi Yanki Kamenetsky's suggestion. So where Rabbi Shela was commenting on this pasuk on the seven spheres, and he made a comment in his drasha, and he said, "Brichachmana, blessed be the Rabbanu Shalom that he gave us such a wonderful government. The Yayv Malchusa B'Yarkei Malchusa D'Rikia." He gave us a government, v'yayv l'chu shultana v'rach medina, and they run the country with a powerful police force, and they love law. They appreciate law and order. So when the goyim heard Rav Shela's praising the government, so I said, that's wonderful. Amar chaviv alei korda malchus kulihai. This Rabbi Shela, apparently he appreciates the government very much. So yayv l'chu kulfa, so they gave him a whip, or they gave him a stick, and they gave him permission. Don't Dina, we give you permission to, if you feel that it's important to give somebody the death penalty, we give you permission. So then this Jew who started the whole thing, the one who was living with a non-Jewish woman, so as they were taking him out to punish him, so this fellow who did the sin was surprised, and he says, God made a miracle for you people. Eliyahu HaNavi comes and he testifies falsely. The Rebbe Shalom made a miracle that Eliyahu HaNavi came and he should testify falsely that I practiced Mishka Behema. So the rabbi said, Russia, Latchamari Ikru, the Nochrim are referred to in Tanakh as donkeys. As it says, Asher Psar Chamorim Psarim, Zim Asusim Zim Asim. So then the rabbi, Reb Shelu, saw that this fellow was going to go Masa to the government, that the rabbi calls all the non-Jews donkeys.
That goes on the men.
Does that go
on the women?
The Nochrim? The Nochrim Chamorim. It doesn't mean Chamorim in Seichel.
No, no, no.
Yeah? So he was about to Masa to the government that the rabbi is quoting a pasuk from Tanakh that all the non-Jews are considered donkeys. So Reb Shela couldn't take it anymore. So he said, look, this guy's a roidef. He's a masser. He wants to masser us, make us trouble. And the halacha says, Haba l'hargacha hashkem l'hargoy. He has a din of a roidef, so if you have a right to kill him. Where is HaTorah Amr? Where does it say, Haba l'hargacha hashkem l'hargoy? So Rashi tells you on the top of the second column on the page, Imabach teres imotzi haganav. If a person breaks into someone else's home in the middle of the night, he knows that the owner of the house may resist and put up a fight. And obviously he came with a knife or with a gun. He's prepared to kill the owner of the house if he resists, if he gives him a hard time, doesn't let him rob his house. So we consider him a roidef. So Reb Shela killed this fellow. And then he gave a whole drasha on the pasuk. Yeah, it's unclear. Choshen Agdula v'Agmura v'Tiferes. Why do all these seven midas, the seven spheres? Why does each one correspond to these different things? Atiferes is Matan Torah, Nesach is Yerushalayim, Hod is Beis Hamikdash. That's all Kabbalah. So you have to figure out what the correspondence is. This is the Gemara where we mentioned the Tzlach a long time ago. The Tzlach says Yerushalayim is the name Yerushalayim appears in Tanakh over 650 times, and all the time it's spelled Chasa Yud. It's missing the second Yud. Only three times it's spelled with the second Yud. The first Yud is Yerushalayim, and the second Yud is missing. How come Yerushalayim is missing a Yud? So he puts together the Midrashim because the pasuk in Yirmiyah in chapter Gimel describes Yerushalayim as Kisei Hashem, the throne of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Officially, the Ribbono Shel Olam is the king over Eretz Yisrael, and the capital of Eretz Yisrael is Yerushalayim. And the Chazal made a comment, Kiyor al Keisko, Mocham al Hashem Ba'amolek, calls Mach Amolek Ba'olam, Ein HaKisei Sholem. So it's called Keisko. So since Yerushalayim is Kisei Hashem, and there are terrible things, Amolek is still around in the world, so Yerushalayim is incomplete. The Kisei Hashem is incomplete, so that's why you call it Yerushalayim. And that's how they spell it in Ksubas and Gittin. One of my daughters got married in Yerushalayim. That's the meaning. You spell it without the second Yud. And when they give a get, they write also Chosa Yud. That's what they have in the old Svarim, that they spell Yerushalayim like that. And Lasa Lava, it'll be Kisei Shalom. And then after Amalek will be wiped out, then we're going to write Yerushalayim. Then Igmar has Tana Rabbanan. You come visit a location where there used to be a community, and then it was destroyed, and then it was rebuilt. So Rashi writes, because Rashi lived at a time that Eretz Yisrael was in a state of churban. Now when you go to Eretz Yisrael, there are a lot of locations where you have to say the bracha, Baruch Matzav Gvul Almana. When I visited Elon Boreh, I have a grandson learning there, one of my grandsons is learning there in the yeshiva. So they told me the Reb Tzvi Yehuda Cook said, you say the bracha there, brach matzah gvul amon. So they told me to say the bracha, so I said the bracha. Okay, that's called Bata Yisrael B'Yeshuva. It used to be a Yiddish Yeshuva, and then it was Chorev, and now it's rebuilt again. They said Rashi wasn't rebuilt. So Rashi says, Kigom B'Yeshuv B'Yeshem. Today a lot of places are rebuilt. So they say, brach matzah gvul amon. If you say it b'chorbanim, he said baruch dayin ha'emes. What do you say? But you see, bati of the kachov mishuvah. You say a different pasuk. Beis gein misach Hashem. Hashem destroyed the homes of the avodah zarah. B'chorbanim. If you say a goyish community which was destroyed, so they're no longer living there. Amar kal nekamas Hashem, kal nekamas afiyam. Then the Gemara tells a story that two of the Amoraim were traveling. They came to the home of a certain person, the home of Apischa de Be'er, Rav Chana b'Chan Eloi. So Rav Chizda gave a big krechts. So Ula says, what are you krechtsing about? Don't you know that it's unhealthy to be heartbroken? It's unhealthy to be depressed. It's very unhealthy to be depressed. So the two traditions were the Anocha Shaveres Chatzi Gufa Shaladam, where the krechtsing and moaning and groaning and being sad takes out half of your kishkas and takes out all of your kishkas. Rabbi Yochanan disagrees. Chatzi gufush. And the first white line, they call Rabbi Yochanan up kol gufush alodim. Anocha totally destroys the people. You should never be. It's not a good thing. Not healthy to be sad. So he says it's not healthy. What are you krechtsing about? Amalei hakana not krechts. This home was sold. This person, Rav Chana b'Chan Eloi, was known for his tzedakah. He used to have 70 chefs in the daytime and 70 chefs, or 60. 60 in the daytime, 60 at nighttime. They would bake bread for whoever was hungry. They would cook food, and whoever would walk in hungry would leave, would be full. And the owner of the home, Chana b'Chan Eloi, always had cash in his pocket. He would always have his hand in his pocket. In case a poor man would come, he wouldn't have to wait till he put his hand in his pocket, gave him the tzedakah, because he may be embarrassed. Maybe so embarrassed, may not want to take the money. So he always went around with his hand in his pocket, so he'll be able to give him the money right away to the Anin. And they used to have open doors open on all four sides. Northeast, southwest, all four directions, there were open doors. Whoever would come in hungry, they would feed them. And then if there would be a year of famine, the people wouldn't have any food to eat, so they would put wheat and barley outside in the nighttime. Whoever was embarrassed to come in the daytime didn't want people to see that they don't have, so they would leave wheat and barley, sacks of wheat and barley outside at night that people should take. So he says, how can I not be upset? Nebuch, the fellow's house was destroyed by the goyim, and it's awful. So Rabbi Yechanan, so the Gemara says, no, you shouldn't feel upset. V'yam shachar beis hamikdash nirzik zeirah batem shal tzadikim. After the Beis Hamikdash was destroyed, the Baruch Hu Shalom made a gzeira that the homes of tzaddikim should be destroyed. And Lasi Lavoi, Asar HaKadosh Baruch Hu Lachzir, and Lasi Lavoi, all the homes will be rebuilt, as it says in Tanakh. So then this was a debate between the two who were traveling. Who was it? It was Ula and Rav Chizda. So Rav Chizda was the one who was krechtsing, and Ula said, you shouldn't krecht, not healthy. And then he tells him, well, that's a gzera min ha-shamayim, that the homes of the tzaddikim should be destroyed. The Gemara continues this story, Chazi, the Lama Yashar Daita, still wasn't satisfied. He tells him, it's a gzera min ha-shamayim, that the homes of the tzaddikim should be destroyed. Amalei, so he finally tells him one line, that was the end of the conversation. Daila Evachi, Heike Rabbi. The Beis HaMikdash in a state of destruction. So this Rav Chana b'Chan Eloi, this holy tzaddik who gave so much tzedakah, he's in the same boat with the Ribbono Shel Olam, just like Beis Hashem is in a state of destruction, so too the home of this tzaddik is also in a state of destruction. But it certainly is something to be upset about. Then the Gemara says, Tana Rabbanan, if you go visit a cemetery, you're supposed to say a bracha. A rakiva Yisrael, you come to a Jewish cemetery, Omer, bracha shiyos ha'eschem ad-din, blessed be Hashem, Baruch Ato Hashem Alkein Malachem Yisei Asher Yotza Eschem Adin Mizan Eschem Adin Mekil Kul Eschem Adin Ba'osaf Eschem Badin. He took your life away Ba'osaf Lakimchem Badin. Period. That's the whole Baruch. Ma Breda Ravina said, no, you got to finish it with more Mesayim Rav Mishmeda Rav Nachman. You should add the following. We had there Mizpah Kulchem. He knows exactly how many people are buried. He was Lachiyoschem V'lekayim Eschem Adin. And he's going to bring everyone's going to have Tchiyas HaMesim. Baruch Ata Hashem Mechaya HaMesim. Yeah, that's what we say. We say this long bracha. What does it mean? I remember Rav Soloveitchik said, what do you mean? God created the human beings with the Midas Adin. Rashi in his commentary on Chumash points out that Bereshis Bore Elikim, the name Elikim is the Shem Hashem in Midas Adin. So the Baruch Shalom created the whole world, the Midas Adin, Elikim, Elikim, till he creates Adam Arishon. On the sixth day, Adam Arishon was created in Erev Shabbos. Then it says, B'yom Ashtos Hashem Elikim. Yudke Bavke is the name of Chesed. Elikim is Din. So the Gemara says, when the Baruch Shalom created Adam Arishon, he knew that human beings wouldn't be able to survive with Midas Adin. So Shitta Thima, Midas HaChesed. That's why it says Hashem Elokim. I remember, if I'm not mistaken, I think Achad Ha'am has a complaint against the Maimon Chazal. That's terrible that Hashem created man bechesed. It should be a combination. It should be a combination of din and chesed. So that's what it says in the Gemara, what Achad Ha'am was bellyaching about. That's what it says. Shitefima midas ha-chesed, and that's called rachmim. Rachmim is a combination of chesed and din. Chesed is pure chesed, and din is pure din. The combination of both is called rachmim. So how do we say how sheyot zareschem badin? Man was not created in midas ha-din. It was created in midas ha-rachmim, the combination of chesed and din. So Rabbi Leitching said that the word din doesn't always mean din, serious, stern judgment. It means with a cheshbon. The Rebbeinu Shlom created human beings with a cheshbon. Zon eschem adin. That can be the with that's been midas adin. The Gemara has such a lashon that if the Rebbeinu Shlom brought us into the world, man di ayv chaya yayv mezayna. If he brought us into the world, so he's obligated to support us, to give us food to eat. But then everything else, v'asav eschem adin, v'asav akimchem bedin. He's mechuyev meikar adin to do tchias hameisim. Not mechuyev. Bedin v'yedem is pakulchem. Also, achyoschem bedin. The Rosalavetchik told that over here, the term badin means with a cheshbon. So he said that on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, we say the pid, v'keil l'arach din v'yoyim din. He said, how can he say Yom Kippur? Yom Kippur is the yoyim adin. Rosh Hashanah is the yoyim adin. Yom Kippur is the yoyim of chesed, the Ramban writes on Chumash. So he said, we call Yom Kippur the yoyim adin. It's a day of cheshbon. The Baruch Shalom makes cheshbonis. How many averis we did, how many mitzvahs we did, but it's not a day of stern judgment. Fakir, Yom Kippur is a day of chesed. So he thought over here, Hashiyos ha'eschem adin doesn't mean that man was created in midas adin, was created with a cheshbon. So this is the bracha that we say. Yeah, if you only say it once every 30 days. If you're at this cemetery in the last 30 days, say you don't say it again. Like the Mishnah has about Haroi Sayyam Agad Lefrakim once every 30 days. So this is bracha also.
Not everybody knows.
No.
I don't.
Yeah, so usually in the cemeteries they have a shrine. That's easier to say. Amar B'Shul Malevi, I haven't seen a dear friend of mine for 30 days. So you say Shechiyana v'kimana v'gyana l'azman hazeh. Only Tosfos says only if it's a very close friend. Then you say the bruch. If you haven't seen him for Yud Beis Chodesh and you haven't heard from him, you haven't been in touch at all, then you say bruch atah Hashem mechaya hameisim. Why? Why mechaya hameisim? Because amara v'hameisim mishpakech ma'alev alach Hashem asah chodesh. People forget if someone dies, so you remember the person. After 12 months of not being in touch, you forget already. And you forget about the mace.
You should do a little break of these people who have to be in the cemetery, or you see from outside. In other words, you see the monument, you're not in the cemetery, you've got to say it to
them. Yeah. You're not allowed to say any brachas at tefillas within the alamos of the kever. So you should really say it when you're outside of the cemetery. Yeah. You really say the bracha and answer. It's not right to daven within daven amos of the maze. That's a loig la rosh, because the dead people can't daven.
Even
Tehillim?
What?
Even Tehillim? Even Tehillim is not right. It's not right to say Tehillim. Yeah.
That's why so many people go to the cemetery.
They don't know. They should really stand on the road, on far away, daven amos away. Yeah, Rabbi Akiva Eiger on Yerideya quotes two minhagim when you do hakamas ha-matseva. Well, some communities, they put up the matseva as it's approaching the yard site, before the 12 months are up. The other communities had the minhag, you wait till after the yahrzeit is up. Why? So some communities said, we've already forgotten about the mace because 12 months went by, so we want to remind ourselves, so we put up a matzeva, we should remember him. And others had the minhag, you put the matzeva before the 12 months are up, you shouldn't forget him. Yeah, that's if there's only one person buried there, but if you have other people, so it's, I'm coming because of this mace. But then I'm saying, all the maces are near each other. So I'm davening, saying tilim within Dalai Lama, so someone else.
You can say that that's what the meaning is. They're using those rishonim and they brought in the Yeridea. And that's why you can say
tilim. But I thought it says in Yeridea, you shouldn't say tilim, no?
It's the
Ilanishmasa of that one person. I went to visit the cemetery of my relative. But there are other people there, not my relatives. So it's not for them. No? The Sefer HaChinuch writes that there's a mitzvah, the Gemara said there's a mitzvah to read Parsha Zohar. It's one of the Taryag mitzvahs to read Parsha Zohar. How often do you have to read Parsha Zohar? The Sefer HaChinuch writes he's not sure, maybe once in a lifetime, maybe once every few years, and maybe once a year every year, as the Chachamim introduced that you should read Parsha Zohar every year, the Shabbos before Purim. So the Chasam Sofer and the Tshuva adds on. So why once a year every year? Because the Gemara says that the Shir Shikho is Shnei Masach Chodesh. If you're laying Parsha Zohar once a year every year, so you're remembering Amalek, you're not going to forget. Sometimes it's a Shana Muberes, so it's 13 months. So you're ready, so you violated Lo Yishkach because you waited 13 months. So the Chasam Sofer says, when it's a Shana Muberes, then you should have in mind when they lain Parshas Bishalach, when they lain by Yehovah Amalek, and when they lain, where is it in Dvarim, in Parshas Shoftim? Forgot already. Shoftim Kiseitze, Parshas Kiseitze. So he says when it's a Shana Muberes, you're going to have 13 months, so you should have in mind when they lain Parshas Kiseitze, you should be Yetze, that doesn't necessarily have to be the Shabbos before Purim. The Chachamim introduced Parsha Zohar, the Shabbos before Purim, in connection with Haman, because Haman, it says Haman was an Amaleki. It says in the Megillah, Haman was Haman Amaleki. So that's what the Chasam Sofer suggests, that every once a year, every year, why should the Sefer HaChinuch suggest that maybe once a year, every year is the application of the Torah, based on this Gemara, that the Shir Shikha is Yud Beis Chodesh. The Gemara tells the story that the fellow died because he was such a smarty pants, because he considered the two Amoraim equivalent to Shokol Keneged Kol Yisrael. I don't understand. There's something missing here in this story. I don't know. Then the Gemara says there are three different brachas that you say. If you see a very handsome person, the Gemara tells in Avodizor Dabchof. It says Avodizor Dabchof Ayin Shok. Gemara tells us that Rabbi Akiva bumped into a very good-looking non-Jewish woman. So he said this bracha, bracha shekocha, bracha toshem l'ken mocha elam, shekocha lod boi bamai. The Gemara says that he spit and he laughed and he cried. He spit that she was Jewish and then he laughed. He saw bracha kodesh, he's going to marry her, and then he cried because he saw bracha kodesh, she's going to die before him. But he said this bracha, this because she was very good-looking. So he said the bracha baruch shekocha lod ba'alamai. And then if you see a person who was born normally but then he became a balmum later in life, then you say bracha dayin ho'emes. And if you see a person who was born with a big major mum, a giant or a midget or something like that, extremely tall, unusual, then you say bracha mishana sabir. So he was born like that. But if he lost his leg later in life, or he became blind later in life, or say he was injured later in life, then you say the bracha dayin ho'emes. Okay. Then the Gemara continues commenting on the Mishnah. The Mishnah says that there are two brachas that we say Bechas Shevach. We praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu when we see. Sometimes you praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu Shekoch Gvasim Oli Olam. That's if you hear a thunder, you see lightning, you see a shooting star. Zikin is a shooting star, and Zavoy is an earthquake. So this is a shooting star, not just the people in my little village can see, the whole area that people can see. That's what Shekoch Gvasim Oli Olam. The whole area can see. But if you see beautiful mountains, breathtaking Horim of Vos and Yamim and Oris and Boris, then it doesn't, you can only see it if you're right next to it. Then you can't say Shkach Rasim Oli Olam. So then you say Baruch Hosea Maisa Bereshis. That's the Nusach that we say, Baruch Hosea Maisa Bereshis. So the Gemara is just explaining what these different things are. So Zikin, the Gemara says, what is Zikin? Kach Vodishavit, a shooting star. Then Gemara goes in to give a whole scientific explanation. What is a shooting star supposed to represent? So Shmuel says, "Nehirin lishvili dishmai kishvili din ardo." Shmuel was an astronomer, and he knew the skies very well. He knew everything except for shooting stars. That he didn't understand. He doesn't understand what shooting stars are all about. Everything else he understood. He said about Rav Kook that he was such an expert in Talmud Yerushalmi. They said that I think in the summertime he used to go to Tzfat on vacation. So he said, Nehirim Shvile de Yerushalmi ki Shvile de Tzfat. He knows all the Yerushalmis like he knows all the little streets in Tzfat. So he said they shouldn't say that because he always gets lost when he walks in Tzfat. And Yerushalmi doesn't get lost. He knows Yerushalmi better than he knows the streets in Tzfat. Anyway, Shmuel was known as an astronomer. Rabbi Shmuel learned in Eretz Yisrael, and they both decided they're going to go to Chutz Lords to establish yeshivas because the people would not learn it. There was a lack of Liman HaTorah. So Rab succeeded in getting smicha. He was called Rab. His real name was Abba. And Shmuel didn't get smicha. So Rabbi Yehuda Nasi felt very bad why it turned out like that. The boat was leaving, so Shmuel had to leave. So he never got smicha. Rabbi Yehuda Nasi felt bad, so the Gemara says in Bab Metzian, Daf Pei Bav, that someone said had access to the Sefer Shalodim Arishon, which lists off Dor Dor B'Dorsho, Dor Dor B'Chachama, Dor Dor B'Sefer, every generation, all the Tamil Chachamim. And in that book, it was already written there from the days of Adam Arishon, supposedly, that there are going to be two contemporaries, Rabbi Shmuel. Rabbi is going to get Smicha and Shmuel. Chacham Yiskiri, Rebbe Lo Yiskiri. He's not going to get Smicha. He'll be known as a big Chacham. He'll be known as an astronomer. So that's what he says. He understands everything about astronomy except for the shooting stars. Then he more goes into their understanding of what's going on with the shooting stars. Okay. We have probably a different understanding of what it's all about. Then Gemara has Al HaZvor, about 10 lines down from the top of Nun Tesam and Aleph. What is Zvor? My Zvor. And Gemara says, Amrav Ketena Guha. Guha means an earthquake, Rashi says. So the Gemara says, Rav Ketena was once traveling, and he came to the home, Kimota Pischa de Be'u Batamya. There was a Bal-Ov who knew through magic, through black magic, he knew all kinds of secrets. So he asks him, Miyadu Batamya Hai Guha Mahu. Do you know what is an earthquake based on? So the magician tells him, Rabbi Ketena, 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 the second white line. Amai Lai Dainah, of course I know what it is. Why shouldn't I know? I know everything there is to know in the world. When the Rabbanu Shalom remembers, this is a non-Jew, this Balov. He says, when the Rabbanu Shalom remembers that his Jewish nation, his children, Zechra is Banav Shashreim B'Tzar Bein Umas Oilam, the Rabbanu Shalom sheds two tears, Marich Tei Demois Le'yam HaGadol, V'kola, and that's the earthquake. The earthquake is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is crying. So Rav Ketena said, he's a liar, he's a faker. If what he said is true, that the Rabbanu Shalom sheds two tears, so then there should be, every time there's an earthquake, there should be two earthquakes. It should be two. And there's only one. So the Gemara says, V'lohi. The Gemara says, Rav Ketena is wrong. Really, Gua Gua Ovid. there is more than one. Whenever there's an earthquake, there's there is more than one. Why the Lord delay? Why do Rav Kita make such a fuss and he say the guy's a faker? The Balov doesn't know what he's talking about. Kech the lo liti kuli alma basre. Didn't want everybody to follow this black magician. Right. And then they give other interpretations as to what an earthquake is all about. Okay, whatever it is. Whatever it is, they understood that it's a tragedy. That Min HaShemayim, the Ribbono Shel Olam is upset about something that's happening. It's not that it's predictable. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is upset because people are sinning, or because the Jewish people are suffering. Yeah. Then Ra'amim, Ra'am is thunder. So the Gemara has a whole machlekes, what does the noise of the thunder come from? Is it that the clouds are bumping into each other? Or is it that the clouds are bumping into the galgal? Rashi has two pshatim on this Gemara. The clouds are, there's some kind of a galgal, there's something solid, and all of the stars are attached. We usually assume it's not so. The clouds are bumping into the galgal harakia, the clouds are bumping into each other, it's making noise. Or the Gemara has another suggestion. When you pour water from one container to another, it makes noise. So here, when Min HaShemayim, they cause the water to pour from one cloud to the other, so the noise that you hear is the water falling from one container to the other. Then the Gemara has other interpretations, right? That the clouds are chalulim, chalchulim, mechalchale, the clouds are hollow, and when the wind blows just like a wind blows next to an empty opening of an empty barrel, it's going to make noise. So too over here, when the winds are blowing next to the empty clouds, it makes a big noise. Whatever it is, however you interpret it, when you hear the thunder, say Zebra. Then the Gemara says Ala Ruches. Yeah, what the Mishnah says, Ala Ruches, he said, Brocha. What kind of Ruches? The wind is blowing a little bit. So the top Tesis quotes the Yerushalmi. The Mishnah goes, Kishiboyim Bizam. When is a hurricane, is a tornado, something like that. Not Stam, the wind is blowing. And the news every morning, WINS, they always say, how fast the wind is blowing. If it's just a calm wind, so Tesis says, Benachas, then you say, Brocha Yisam Maisa Bereshis. You only go out of your way to say Shekach Rasam Al Yodam. It only shows Koyach Hashem if it's really a hurricane or a tornado, a big wind. So the Gemara discusses the hurricanes. Then the Gemara talks about Ala Brokim. Barok is lightning. The Gemara says different kinds of lightning. It is a simon, it is going to rain. It's not a simon, not going to rain. Okay, different kinds of lightning. Shai. Then the Gemara has Amar Rabbi Shua ben Levi, Haroyes HaKeshes Be'onan. If you see the rain blow, what happened after the Mabul? HaKadosh Baruch Hu showed Noach the rainbow. The rainbow is like this. The two ends of the rainbow are on the ground. And the Ramban HaChumash explains, when you have a bow and you want to shoot, so the straight line you hold by you, and the round part is in the direction where you're going to shoot. So over here, if the rainbow would have been the other direction, it means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to shoot from heaven at us. But the rainbow is upside down. It means that he's not going to shoot at us. We're not shooting at him, but he's not shooting at us. So that's why it's a siman of peace. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, that's the Ois HaBris. Hashem made a bris with the human beings. He's never going to destroy the world again with a flood. That's a discussion that Mefarshim have. The problem is the bris, and he's not going to destroy the world again with a flood. Only applies on a flood. Does it even apply on a nuclear war and on other ways of destroying the whole world? So some of the Farsh Machomish think that it's a haftoche, that the Ribbono Shel Olam will never allow the whole world to be destroyed. Yeah, not so clear in the Pasuk. So the Gemara says, because a bris was made, and the rainbow is the Osa bris, so that's why when you see a rainbow, you recite the bracha. What bracha says? Zecher abris v'nema abris v'kayim b'mamora. HaKadosh Baruch Hu should remember the bris that he made with Noach, and he shouldn't bring another marble to the world. The Gemara tells a story in Ksubis that when Rabbi Shlomo ben Levi died, he went to heaven, and then the angels heard, oh, this holy tzaddik Rabbi Shlomo ben Levi is coming. So when he came, when his soul came to heaven, they asked him, did the rainbow ever appear during your lifetime? So he says, yes. So he said, oh, then you're not the big tzaddik that we thought you were. Because the rainbow only appears when the people deserve to be punished, and the Rabbi Shlom shows a rainbow to show, because of the promise, because of the bris that he made to Noach, he's not going to destroy the world. But if you have really a big tzaddik in the generation, he should be megan on the generation. They shouldn't even need any rainbow. So the Gemara says, Rabbi Shlomo Levi lied. The truth of the matter was the rainbow never appeared during his lifetime, because he was such a great tzaddik. His generation didn't need the bris. But he didn't want to be machzik toivul atzma, didn't want to break. So when they asked him, did the rainbow, nearest hakeshes b'yamecha, did the rainbow appear during your lifetime? So he told a lie and he said yes, that it did appear. That's what the Taz quotes that story in Hilchos Tainis. There's a similar Shulchan Aruch that there's certain days in the course of the year that are called Tainis Tzadikim. Rosh Chodesh Nissen is also Tainis Tzadikim, I forgot about it. Chodesh Av is Aaron HaKohen's Yahrzeit, different days in the year. Tzadikim fast. So if somebody asks me, are you fasting today? So if they need a minyan to lay by chal, and they want to know, am I fasting? So I tell them, yes, I'm fasting. I can join you for the minyan. But if the guy's just putting on an almanac, what does he have to know whether I'm fasting? What is it, his business? He's not going to lay by chal. So I should tell a lie. I should rather say, I'm not fasting today. Or let's say, Bahab. Today hardly anybody ever fasts on Bahab. So if they're asking, are you fasting today? You want to know, can we lay? So they want to know, do they have a minyan? So you say, yes, you're fasting. Okay. But if it's, they're not going to lay by chal anyway. He just wants to know, for his education, he wants to know whether you fast Bahab. So better to tell him a lie, because you're going to brag about the fact that you're doing a tiny tzaddik, and you're going to lose your reward.
Someone could tell a lie.
Hmm?
Who's dead?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He told a lie after he was dead already. Yeah. Strange Gemara.
So the Gemara. Something that happens with the refraction of the light.
Right. The Ramban raises that. He says there's a scientific explanation to the rainbow. So how is it a nois habris? From the Chumash you get the impression as if the rainbow only existed after the Mabul. So the Ramban thinks that's not true. He thinks that the scientific explanation is correct. And it has nothing to do with the bris, but after the HaKadosh Baruch Hu made a bris with mankind that will never again destroy the whole world like in the days of the Mabul, so he said, take this natural phenomenon of the rainbow as a symbol, but it was there from before. There was a rainbow before also, in the same way it was now. So the Gemara says, when you see rainbows, the first thing Gemara says, you should bow down in the presence of the rainbow, because it says in Yechezkel chapter Aleph, the Marrakesh Hashir Ba'anan, that the Shekhinah appeared in the rainbow. The Etbol Va'era, Yechezkel HaNavi says, I saw the rainbow, I saw the Shekhinah, Ve'etbol upon I bowed down. So the Gemara says, that's not right. Light the Alob in Marovim. Marovim means in Eretz Yisrael, which is to the west of Babel. Babel is Syria. So in Eretz Yisrael, which is to the west, they would frown upon, they would curse the people. They said it's improper. You shouldn't bow down to the rainbow. It looks as if you shouldn't bow down because it looks as if you're worshipping the rainbow. Light the alav in marav in Eretzah, there would be light, they would be upset. And one who would bow down, Shem Nemech, said, Commander Sogel, Lakash, it looks as if you're bowing down to the rainbow. He's really bowing down to the Shekhinah, which appears in the rainbow. So you shouldn't do that. The same thing when you say Kiddush Levana. The people who are watching will think that you're praying to the moon. So you shouldn't look at the moon when you say Kiddush Levana. That's what they say, you should look at the moon, and once you see the moon, you should turn to a different direction. That's what many say, you should turn to Mizrach. If the moon is not Mizrach, so turn to Mizrach, like when we damn Shman Esra. If the moon is a Mizrach, so turn to a different direction. Don't look at the moon when you say Kiddush Levana. You shouldn't look as if you're davening to the moon. So really, we mentioned yesterday that if I know, I'm a doctor, and I know that someone just died in the hospital, and I made up that I'm taking his brother to the wedding tonight, so I can pick him up, and I don't have to tell him that his brother died. It may be, and I can dance with him at the wedding, and I'm not in violation of the Nivah Lissite Mirshol, because as long as he doesn't know that his relative died, so he's not obligated to observe Avelis. The Chiyah of Avelis begins when there's Yediyah, when you have Shmua Kroiva, Shmua Rechoika, when he heard about the death of the relative, either he heard Shmua Kroiva within 30 days of the death, or Shmua Rechoika heard about it after 30 days after the death. So the, unless it's a son, the son wants to say Kaddish, unless I'm not going to tell him, he's not going to be at his brother's funeral, so that'll be an embarrassment. So then I better tell him. But if there's no issue of reciting Kaddish, there's no issue of attending the funeral, there's no mitzvah to let the person know. So this is based on the Gemara at the beginning of Psachim. Gemara tells that Rav originally lived in Babel. He came to Eretz Yisrael to learn, and then he went back to Babel to found the yeshiva. Rav and Shimon, they both went back to Babel. So the Gemara says Rav's father was a half-brother of Rav Chiya, and his mother was a half-sister of Rav Chiya. And they weren't related to each other. His father and his mother were half-brothers, half-sister. But they weren't related to each other. So Rav Chiya came from Babel to learn Rav Yud al-Nasi in Eretz Yisrael. So he hadn't been in touch. They had no telephones, had no mail delivery. So he asks Rav, is your father still alive? So he says, why don't you ask about my mother? Then he says, is your mother still alive? I said, I never answered about my father. So the Gemara says, what is he beating around the bush? So the Gemara quotes a pasuk in Mishlei, Motzi Dibu Huksil, that it's not proper to say over tragic news. So he didn't want to tell his uncle, Rav Chiya, didn't want to tell him that his parents had both died. So he beat around the bush. So Rav Chiya asked, is your father still alive? He says, he didn't ask me about my mother. He says, about the mother? He said, I never answered about the father. So he understood that they were both no longer alive. So the Gemara quotes that pasuk, Motzi Dibu Huksil, you really shouldn't say over tragic news that someone died, unless it's important that the child should say Kaddish, or it's important that he should attend the funeral. So it says in Shulchan Aruch also, you shouldn't tell people that you saw the rainbow, because the rainbow appears in a generation where the people are Rishoyim, and they deserve to be punished, but Min HaShamayim, they show the rainbow. Yeah, how does this jive with that Ramban and Chumash? Ramban and Chumash says that the rainbow existed before the Mabul. It's a natural phenomenon. I don't know. The Gemara says that Gemara by Reb Shimon Levi, the Gemara Ksuba says, the rainbow only appears in a generation where the people are Rishoyim, they deserve to be punished. So that Gemara seems to be against that Ramban and Chumash. I don't know, yeah? So it says, even though you want to enable the people to say this bracha, but still it's bad news, so you shouldn't, even though your intention is to enable them to say the bracha, you shouldn't tell them. If you see rainbow, you say the bracha.
It's not the same to tell someone for the kaddish. It's not like telling the sons to say the kaddish. It's not a good enough
to tell. Apparently not. That's what it says, I think, in the Mefarshim and Shulchan Aruch. You shouldn't tell them that you saw a rainbow.
This first thing I remember as a child, when I was a kid, my father used to say, you don't tell people you saw the rainbow, because it looks like you're doubting what Hashem should have told us. Look, there's a rainbow. So, in other words, is there any basis in that, or is that it?
I don't know. The Gemara says it's a bad simon. If the rainbow appears, it's a bad simon. It means only because of the rainbow, God is not destroying the world. Yes, yeah, so that's what it says. You shouldn't tell the people you saw a rainbow, even if your intention is that to enable them to say the bracha. The Gemara quotes the bracha. Zechar bris v'nem v'bris v'kayim amamara. A papa is the one who says that often. Hilkach namrino l'travayu. There was one nusach and another nusach. A papa says, say everything all together. Yeah. It says, l'kamon b'omid beis. What's an omid beis? The Gemara says, when you say Nishmas Kol Chai, the Gemara says, when it rains, in the middle of Amud Beis, the Gemara says, Mai Mevorchim, when it rains and you need the rain, what bracha do you say? Amar Rav Yehuda, Moedim Alach Nalachal Kol Tipa V'Tipa Sha'arad Atalon, Rav Yechem Nisayim Bahochi, Ilifin Mada Shiva Kayam, etc. En Anach Maspikim Lohodas Loch Hashem Alkeinu, Ad Tishtach Mevorcha Ta Hashem Rov HaHoy Doas. That's the nusach. That's the nusach that we say in the Shema Kol Chai. That's what they say when it rains. So the Gemara asked the Kasha, that's what you say, blessed be Hashem, who deserves the majority of all of the praises. The Gemara says, Rav Haidos, Volakol Haidos. Why does he only deserve the majority of the praises? He really deserves all the praises. Omar Rav, so Rav says, you're right, that's not correct, Rav Haidos. Eima, you should rather say, Hakel HaHoidos. Baruch Atah Hashem, you are the God who deserves all the praises. Hamrapa Pehilkach, since there's an argument, you should say Raif. And Rabbi has an argument, you should say Kel HaHoidos. Nemrinu Litrabayu. You should say both, Rav HaHoidos, Vekel HaHoidos. You say both. So that's Nusach Ashkenaz. This girsa is the girsa that we have, those of Dam Nusach Ashkenaz. We say, Mahulal Beroif HaTishbochas. And then you say, Baruch Atah Hashem, Kel HaHoidos, at the end, in the middle of the Baruch HaBishtabach. And Nusach Svar doesn't have this. Doesn't have what Rav Papa says of the Hilchach. Nemrinu Tavai say both. They say, no, Rabbi said that it doesn't make sense to say Rav HaHoidos. He say, Amuhula B'chala HaHoidos. Amuhula not B'roiv HaHoidos. Amuhula B'chala HaHoidos. And then he said, Baruch Atah Hashem, Kel HaHoidos. Adon HaFloos, Abecha B'shizim Elch. Yohid Kel Chei HaHoilonik. He said, so there are two girsas here, Nusach Ashkenaz and Nusach Svar.
Nusach Svar makes more sense.
Yeah, the Gemara, it doesn't make sense. Why should you say Roif HaHoidos? Why should you say? So the Ramban explains, the Ramban al-Machamis explains it. Roif doesn't mean 51%, the majority of the praises. Roif means Ribui HaHoidos. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu deserves an abundance of praises. An awful lot of praises. So that's how the Ramban says. Then Rav Soloveitchik suggested a new interpretation. But he learned this Gemara Maria. Remember, he spent a lot of time on all the dreams. He said he interpreted every dream here. He used to go through the Marshon, the Chidush Agoda, and say over Kuzaris and Mar Nebuchadnezzar and all kinds of things. Every dream he spent time on. So on this Gemara, he suggested there is a Gemara in Bava Kamma. I don't remember. I think it's in Hachoivel. I think it's in Perek Hachoivel. But the Gemara has different pidgamim amamiyim, popular expressions that the people used to say. So the Gemara has an expression that they used to say, chamra lemora v'tivusa l'shakya. The wine, chamra, is paid for. When you go to a wedding, so the waiters ask, would you like a little wine? So they're pouring the wine. So the Gemara says, the wine is paid for by the Chosin Kala's family, and the waiters are paid for, and the waiters are tipped, everything is covered. But when the waiter pours you the wine, so you say thank you. What do you say thank you to the waiter? It's not his wine. And he's thanking him that he's pouring it for you. He's being salaried to pour it. And he's given a tip. So what do you have to say thank you? The answer is, if you're going to make a cold calculation all the time, whether you have to say thank you, so you're never going to thank anybody. I'm never going to thank my wife. She makes all the food. And she cleans all the clothing. And she raised all the children. And she took care of everything. I'm not going to thank her because every month I give her, every week I give her my paycheck, and she spends all the money. And she's never going to thank me for giving me the for giving her the paycheck, because she washes all the dishes, she cooks all the food, she raised all the children. So I'm never going to thank the head of the yeshiva. Where can I get such a wonderful maggid shir for the salary that they give me? They're not going to thank me for teaching the yeshiva. They're paying me a salary. So I'm not going to thank them, they're not going to thank me, no one's going to thank anybody. And if you're not going to have a sense of gratitude to a boss of Adam whom you can see in front of your eyes, you're not going to have a sense of gratitude to HaKadosh Baruch Hu either. That's how the Midrashim say. How does it say? Vayere Hashem liris ha-migdal ha-shebanu b'nei ha-odam. When I was a Talmud in the yeshiva, the Mashgiach in the yeshiva was Rabbi Lessen. Rabbi Yankov HaKohen lesson. So this was one of his favorites. He would say this pretty often. It says by the Dor HaFloga, I think. Vayir Hashem, by the Dor HaFloga. Vayir Hashem, liras ha-migdol shebanu b'nei ha-odam. So what does it mean, b'nei ha-odam? So Rashi says, there were descendants from Odom HaRishon, who was a kofi toifa. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu asks him, why are you hiding? Where are you? He says, he's hiding. He said, why are you hiding? Did you eat from the Eitz Hadas? So Adam Rishon says, Isha Shanasata Imadi, he nastan li ba'echav. That witch of a wife that you gave me, she's the one who told me to eat from the Eitz Hadas. You should have thanked the Rabbanu Shalom for giving him a wonderful wife. Rabbanu Shalom made specially a chava for Adam Rishon. That was a wonderful shidduch. He should not have listened to her when she encouraged him he should eat from the Eitz Hadas. He shouldn't have eaten. So he blames the Rabbanu Shalom. Instead of being a makah taiva, he's a kafi taiva. So that's what the midrashim say. When a person is a kafi taiva to someone else, he's going to become a kafi taiva to the Ribbono Shel Olam, and then he's going to forget about the Ribbono Shel Olam, because the Ribbono Shel Olam is invisible. So the only reason why the only thing that's mechazek our emunah in the existence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is that we have a sense of HaKoras HaTov. We have a sense that we have to have gratitude towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that he's so kind to us. But if you're not going to have a sense of gratitude to a bus of a dumb, then you're going to lose that sense of gratitude to the invisible Ribbono Shel Olam, then you're going to forget about the Ribbono Shel Olam. So that's why it says, Shabbana b'nei ha'adam, the descendants of Adam HaRishon, were prepared to make a migdal, Rosh HaBashamayim, to wage war against the Ribbono Shel Olam. They were ready to fight against Malchus Shamayim. The Medrash has such a comment on another pasuk also. It says, Vayomas Yosef v'chala chav v'chala darhu v'yokam melech mitzvah. How does it say? Shalom yoda es Yosef. How does it say? V'yokam melech chadosh ha'mitzvahim. Asher lo yada es Yosef. So there's a medrash that says, what do you mean lo yada es Yosef? They didn't know. It's not ancient history from 1,000 years ago. It's just 5 years ago. If people never heard of President Roosevelt, okay, so you never heard of Roosevelt. You weren't born yet. Never heard of Truman. Okay, but you're going to say you never heard of Clinton. You never heard of the one who was just the president before. How can it be asher lo yada es Yosef? So the matter says, Asher lo yada es Yosef means he was a makah taiva to Yosef. So that's why, because Paro didn't have a sense of HaKoras HaTov to Yosef, that's why it says, lo yadaiti es Hashem. When Moshe Rabbeinu says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu appeared to me and he wants you to set free the Jewish people, so he says, lo yadaiti es Hashem. I don't recognize him. Because of his lo yada es Yosef, because he didn't have a sense of HaKoras HaTov to Abbas of Adam, that's why he lost the sense of HaKoras HaTov to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that's why he forgets about the Ribbono Shel Olam. Chavis HaLovis makes a big fuss about that, that HaKoras HaTov is the midah that maintains our belief in the existence of God. Because God is invisible, so it's very easy to forget about him. So so that's what Absalom Leitching said. The Ribbono Shel Olam B'davka does not want us to reserve all of the praises for him. He only wants Roiv HaHoidos. He wants the majority of the praises. We should save a lot of the praises for Bas of Adam. That's the idea. Chamra Lamara, V'tivusa D'shakya. The wine is paid for by the Bali HaSimcha, and the waiter is paid for, and the waiter is tipped, and still you have to say thank you when the waiter pours you the wine. Or when the waiter serves you the chicken, whatever he serves you, you have to say thank you. If you're not going to say thank you, you're going to lose your whole sense of HaKoras HaTov, then you're going to forget about the Ribbono Shel Olam. So there are two girsas again in the Gemara, where the Rapapa, the girsa HaSfardis is that on the base, on Nun Tes on the base, you don't have Hilchach Nermin Litravai. So that's why Nusach Zwan and Nishmas Kol Chai, they don't have HaMuhulot B'Roif HaTish Bochas. But the Gemara, as it's printed by this is the Vilna edition of the Gemara. And Vilna, they daven Nusach Ashkenaz. So they put in the girsa that the Ashkenazim, Hilchach Narminu Litravai. Papa has it in a few other places also, not just over here. Amad Aleph and Amad Beis, he has it in other places. And in Arvei Pesachim also you have like that. In Arvei Pesachim, I think it's also Papa. The Gemara says that the Mishnah says, the four Arba Kaisis on Pesach night, so the first Kais is Kiddush, the second Kais is Sashir Gyalono, Baruch Atah Hashem Gol Yisrael, the third Kais is Bichas Hamas, and the fourth Kais of the Arba Kaisis is Bichas Hashir. So what is Bichas Hashir? So one opinion in the Gemara is that you say Nishmas Kol Chai and you finish off with Yishtabach. The other opinion is no, you finish the Halam and say Yihalalucha. So the Gemara says there, I think it's also Rapapi, Okach Naminu Lichavayu, we say both. So some Rishonim say, Taka, say both. You say two brachas. You say, Yihalalucha, and then at the end of Halal, and then you say Nishmas Kol Chai, and you end up with Yishtabach. That's, some Rishonim have that. They have some of the old Haggadahs have like that. They have two different brachas on the fourth cup of wine. So we don't have that practice. Nobody does that today. We somehow blend in both together, and then also there are two versions, Nusach Ashkenaz and Nusach Sfarad. How do you blend in the two together? Which one do you say earlier, which one do you say later? But that was Rav Papa's attitude. whenever there's a machlekes, what the nusach hatfilah should be. So he says, may as well say both. Hilchach naminu v'trabai. What do we have in the beginning of the Masechta about Birchas HaTorah? What was it at the end of the first parak? Is that also a papa? Hilchach naminu v'kulhu. The Gemara doesn't have any name.
The Gilyan Hashas points out the Rif and the Rosh are gory, so it's papa.
Oh yeah? Okay. Mm-hmm. I'm Rapapa. Yeah, it's also Rapapa. I think the Gemara Pesachim is also Rapapa. Yeah, by the Arba Kosa. I think it's also Rapapa. Yeah, he was an Ishalom. He says, Hilchach Naminu Lich Rabbi. There he says a Nusach the rainbow. By the rainbow, you say the whole nusach, the combination of Bozech, Abris, Venem, Abris, Vekayim, Be'mamor. Mishnebura raises a question. I don't think he quotes it from earlier poskin. Sometimes you don't see the whole rainbow. Sometimes, I don't know why, you have to know physics, sometimes you only see part of a rainbow. You don't see the whole thing. Sometimes the building is blocking, and sometimes the whole rainbow is not even there. Part of the rainbow is missing. The
water
sky is not.
There's no
droplets. Yeah. So the Mishnah Berurah is not sure. He thinks maybe you only say the bracha if you see the full rainbow, because it's supposed to represent a bow, and that the Baruch Shalom is not shooting at us. It's upside down. The bow is upside down to indicate that Rabban Shalom is not going to punish us. Min
Hashemai. Is that Suffolk brothers?
I think he raises the Suffolk.
It's very rare that you see a full rainbow. You have to have a plane that means from the ground to the ground.
Yeah. Yeah.
I haven't seen it in my whole life. I've never seen that.
Really? It's so unusual.
Because it's in the city, you don't.
I think that's what he says, not to say the bracha unless you see the whole rainbow. Unless you see the whole rainbow.
So you can see basically the whole curve, you just don't see it touching the ground.
Some of that's enough, you see a whole curve. Yeah, but sometimes you just see this part, you don't even see the other half. You didn't even see a curve. So that's when he raises a possibility that maybe you shouldn't see. Okay. So the Gemara had these various brachas. Sometimes it says Shkoch Rasam Oli Olam, and sometimes they say Oisa Maisa Bereshis. Yeah. Where are we up to? Then it says, Al-Hahorim al-Agvos, if you see beautiful mountains and beautiful hills, then you say, Oysa Maisa Bereshis. So the Gemara says, and what about all those that came before? They're not Oysa, what came before Hahorim al-Agvos? Let's see. Al-Azikim, the shooting stars, Al-Azvos, Al-Aramim, Al-Aruchas, Al-Barakim, everything is Oysa Maisa Bereshis. Then it says later, Al-Horim Al-Gwas is Yamim Nahoris, that's Oysim Aysibir. Everything was included in the creation of the world. These are natural phenomena. So why does it only say Oysim Aysibir Aysibir and the Horim Al-Gwas? Al-Tu Kolahan Adaman Hashta Lam Aysibir 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 Aksiv Am Rabbi Korech V'Toni. What do you mean Korech V'Toni? What does Rashi write? Korach v'tani, the last six lines. V'kula baruch ha'isa ma'isa, baruch shkach v'as ma'li yoram. Korach v'tani, v'kula b'chad abov, v'akulam, shtei brachas alol. Abayi learns that you got to say both brachas. What do you mean? You say both brachas. Rav Amah, hasam v'baruch tarti. So what does it mean that Taisus quotes the earlier Rishainim? Rava Omar. Rava Mahasam Vach Shikach Rat Maliyan of the Oisem Isabesh means Oha Oha. It does mean that you say both. Chain Pirish Avalthus. Taisus quotes the Rif. That Rava disagrees. Abai sounds like a Rashi learns in Abai that you talk to say two brachas. And Taisus quotes the Rif who interprets in Rava. No, you don't say two brachas. You have an option. Either to say Kach Ramas of the Oilam or Oisem Isabreshis. But if it's something that's local, it's not like thunder or lightning that you can see it 100 miles away. It's just a beautiful mountain or a beautiful lake. Then you can only say Oisem Isabreshis. You don't have an option of either saying one bracha or the other. So that's what we really paskin like Rava. You have an option of saying this or that. And the meaning is that on Brachim Lamata Rasa, since it says on Barak, on lightning, Brachim Lamata Rasa, so we say Oisem Isabreshis. And on thunder, he says Shikach Gvasam Aliyah. That's the mimic. But Mikradin, you can say either Brohan either. Then the Gemara says, what bracha do you say when the sky is beautifully clear? Arayat Rakia Betaharasa. Four lines from the bottom. See a beautiful sky, the blue color of the sky. So you say, bracha, bracha, isa, maisa, bereshis. When do you say the bracha? When the Gemara said, when it was raining all night and then this morning is clear, you say the bracha. And then, Amrav Chizdan, Yam Shachar Beis HaMikdash, Al Niris Rakia B'Taharas. The sky no longer looks so beautiful because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is upset, so to speak, he's crying over the fact that the Beis HaMikdash had to be destroyed. He's the one who saw to it that it was destroyed, but he's upset. So it says, Al B'Shamayim Kadrus, that there are clouds that cover the sky, so you never say that bracha. So you don't say, Oisem Maisa Bereshis on the sky. So believe that tomorrow we'll start from this Gemara again. The Satmar Rebbe has a tshuva where he talks about this Gemara. The last line on New Post. What time tomorrow is normal time?
Quarter to one.
Quarter to one. Okay. Well, we got to run downstairs.
I'm not trying. No. That's the thing I mean, guys, we were shy. So,
what?
Yeah. This is a, I think it's today I caught more. I need more.